If you love beer like I do, then you're going to love this episode. I'm going to take you to a brewery down in South Texas that's celebrating its 100th anniversary. Travel with me to Shiner, Texas, home of the Spetzel Brewery, on this episode of The Attitude Adjustment Hour. Hey everybody, Dennis Cruz here. When I first moved down to Texas, the only thing I had heard about the local beers was Lone Star, the self-proclaimed national beer of Texas. Not sure if this national claim is an indication of a lean towards secession. Gotta ask Governor Rick Perry on that one. But Lone Star has staked its claim in Texas for years. In my opinion, mass-produced Texas beers leave a lot to be desired. That is until I tried my first beer from the Spetzel Brewery in Shiner, Texas. The beer was Shinerbach, and it's absolutely delicious. I was at a bar on 6th Street here in Austin, and I asked the bartender for something local, not a Lone Star, okay? She laughed. She poured me a Shinerbach draft. The color, real dark, and I thought, uh-oh, I've had Bach beer in the past. It's usually a heavier brew, and there's bitterness from the hops. Yeah, beer aficionados would call me crazy, but I call it kind of skunky. I know I definitely didn't like it. But one sip of Shinerbach, and I was pleasantly surprised. Tasted of malt and caramel. It has more of a lager feel, ice cold, it went down smooth, and I knew right away I'd found my new favorite beer. So when I started doing the Attitude Adjustment Hour, I knew I'd have to eventually make my way down and pay a visit to the little brewery in Shiner. Shiner, Texas, with a population of about 2,000 people, is about a two-hour drive southeast of Austin. You take Highway 183 down through the barbecue capital of Texas, Lockhart, you keep going. Then when you hit Gonzales, US 90 is going to take you right into the heart of Shiner. It's livestock country. You'll pass small cattle, sheep, goat, and pig ranches on your trip. But once you get to town, there's one industry worth noting, Spetzel Brewery. I spoke with Jimmy Morick, Shiner native, and he's the brewmaster at Spetzel.
I was born and raised in Shiner, Texas, about a mile and a half from here. Didn't move too far from the house. Actually started working here when I was 17 years old.
Spetzel's the oldest independent brewery in Texas. Founding brewmaster Cosmo Spetzel brought with him an old family recipe from Germany, which survives today in Shiner blonde beer. Morick is only the sixth brewmaster in the history of the brewery. How did he end up in that position at Spetzel?
Started kind of from the bottom, working my way up from the packaging line to shipping, receiving, to cellars, to brew house, and finally got a chance to go to brewmaster school under the brewmaster that was before me was John Huebner. He was here for 39 and a half years, so I worked under him for 27 years. So went to brewmaster school in Chicago, Illinois, at Siegel's Institute of Brewing Technology. Went to university here in Texas, Texas State University. So I kind of worked my way up and been interning for 27 years before I got the job.
So I asked Jimmy, what are the duties of a brewmaster?
Well, again, you know, in a brewmaster position in different breweries can mean different things. But here in a small brewery, you know, again, we are quite small yet. We're a 400,000 barrel brewery. But a brewmaster job in a small brewery is a little bit of a plant manager. You're involved in the brewing, you're involved in the cellaring, you're involved in packaging, shipping, receiving, hiring, firing, safety, all aspects of a plant, not just brewing.
Now that's a lot of hats to wear, but old Cosmos, who was brewmaster from 1914 to 1950, had one other task. He would load up the back of his Model T Ford and deliver cold Bock beer to the farm and ranches in the surrounding area. Throughout Prohibition, the brewery stayed open, making ice and near beer. But legend has it that Cosmos may have forgot to lessen the amount of alcohol in the product. So residents of Shiner during that alcohol-free era, they actually got a lot nearer to real beer than near beer usually allows. To commemorate their 100th anniversary, they brewed special beers for several years.
You know, we started this a number of years ago, counting our way down, you know, to our, you know, up to 100 years of brewing. So we started with these anniversary beers, and you know, we started with Shiner 96, and it was a different style each year. You know, a Marzen style ale, and then you know, we came with in 97 the Bohemian Black Lager. You know, we had a Helles, a nice straw blonde type of beer too, lightly hopped. It's a great tasting beer, also.
Now, I told you already that I fell in love with Shinerbach at first sip. They had me at Guten Tag. But I'm not the only first-timer that jumped on the Shiner bandwagon.
My name is Dave Stimmel, born and raised in San Francisco, and I am a beer nut. I try to venture out and hit all the brew pubs that I can. I've gone to quite a few in Northern California, up in Portland, Seattle, and recently we had planned a trip to Texas. We landed in Austin and drove to San Antonio, spent a couple days, and drove out to Shiner, Texas, Spetzel Brewery after Cosmo Spetzel. And we went on the tour, and I have to tell you that I was totally amazed by the beers that they produce.
I asked Dave his take on Shiner Bock.
I hadn't had Bock beer in years. In my youth growing up, we drank a few Bocks, but it was always a heavy, dark kind of beer. Their Bock beer has the looks of a dark beer, but it doesn't taste dark. It doesn't taste like a Guinness or a stout or anything bitter. It actually has a crisp taste. And the colder, the better. And that's one thing I should add, is all the beers were really ice cold, and that's the way I like them. If all the Bocks around town tasted that way, I'd probably be a Bock drinker, but theirs was the best.
Jimmy Morrick told me a little more about the brew.
Shiner Bock is our flagship beer, and again, it's 85 to 90% of our total volume. It's a American-style dark, Bock. And what makes it so unique is that you can, again, drink a lot of this beer because it's so nice and easy to drink, very smooth, lightly hopped, but has a nice dark amberish color to it, makes it kind of uniquely different that you can look at it and say, man, this thing is dark, but you know, I'm not going to be able to drink too many of these things. But then all of a sudden you taste it and go, man, I like this. I can drink a lot of these.
Up until the 70s, Spetzel only delivered beer within a 75-mile radius of Shiner. That means San Antonio, which is only about 90 miles away, and Austin, Dallas, and most other Texas cities had to bootleg the beer into their areas to enjoy it. But now, most of you can find Shiner at your local liquor emporium.
Well, Shiner, again, it started out only in Texas, and we branched out into now about 38, 39 states, and just recently exporting it to Mexico. Yes, Mexico, yes. So, again, you can go from one end of the U.S. to the other end, from the West Coast to the East Coast, and you can find Shiner, mostly the Bock now, but a lot of our other seasonals and some of our specialty beers are making it, there also.
Shiner Bock is Spetzel's biggest seller and their most popular beer. Everywhere, it seems, except Shiner.
I like Shiner Blonde because that's what I was born and raised on. Again, Shiner Blonde was one of the original recipes that Cosmo Spetzel came down with. Shiner Blonde is a Bohemian lager, just a nice lager beer. And if you still go into bars here in Shiner, Shiner Bock is 90% of our total volume, but Shiner Blonde is still the most prevalent beer in Shiner itself because the area Shinerettes still drink Shiner Blonde.
Now, my favorite of the 100th anniversary beers is their Bohemian Black Lager. This beautiful, dark beer. It has all the deliciousness of a stout like Guinness, but it's a lager, so you serve it ice cold, and man, it goes down really, really good.
The Shiner 97 was Bohemian Black Lager, and right now, that's number two behind the Shiner Bock, and we had such great reviews over it that we actually brought it back and added it a full time to the family of beers. And the Bohemian Black Lager, is a very dark Bohemian Black Lager. It's got four different types of malts in it. A lot of Belgium malts in it. Some of the Czech hops in it. So again, it's very dark but very drinkable.
Like many of the residents of this area, Jimmy comes from a German and Czech background.
I'm German Czech, just like the guys that came over here. My grandfather was actually German, and my grandmother was Czech, and the same thing on my mother and father's side. So I'm true to the heritage here.
Does he speak the language?
I used to speak a little bit of Czech because, growing up at home, mom and dad, that's all they did was talk Czech because they didn't want us kids to know what they were talking about, especially around Christmas time and stuff like that. And again, they talked it all the time, and my grandparents talked all the time, so you picked it up, a lot of the words, and you pretty well knew what they were talking about. So, but my parents passed since that a number of years ago, and I kind of lost that.
Now, if you're brewing German and Czech-style beers, it only makes sense to head to Europe and get a feel for what the original brewers are doing. Jimmy recently took a trip to Germany.
Well, the Germany was, it almost felt like you're at home, other than the language that I cannot speak, and understand just a few words of it. But the beers, you know, just made you feel at home. I mean, you know, some of the, especially the craft brews that we're making now, we're not just a one-dimensional brewery anymore, just making Scharnerbach. And so we're into the craft brewing part of it. And we produce, you know, our German Czech heritage is we produce beers just like these guys up in Germany. And it was surprising to see how our beers compared, in which they stood up very, very well, I thought.
The beer wasn't the only thing that seemed familiar to Jimmy. The food is very reminiscent of that served down in South Central Texas.
It really made me feel at home because it was food that my mother used to cook, and it was so similar, and I knew you know that this is where she got these type of ideas and these recipes was actually from Germany itself. The Wiener Schnitzel, I mean, that was you know, a piece of pork that my mother always lightly bred, and it had like a little bit of a vinegary taste to it, you know. And she used to always even do that with her pork chops and that stuff too when she fried them. And then I was like, well, where did she get this vinegar stuff? And then I'm tasting the Wiener Schnitzel, it tasted exactly like that. So I knew where she got it from.
Really nice people working at the brewery, and it seems everyone's been working there for a long, long time. T-Bone, he runs the warehouse. Annie works in public relations, and she gives the brewery tour to the public. She's great. On her tour, she'll take you to see where the beer's made and bottled. The massive copper tanks that are used to mix the grains and water, they were imported from Germany. Beautiful, beautiful contraptions. They tell visitors to keep their hands off the copper because sweat from your hands will corrode the metal over time. From that room, I stepped into the brewery's test lab, and I met another employee.
Peter Takis. I'm the QA manager. Quality assurance. I count the bubbles.
Now, Peter isn't German, and he's not Czech. He's Hungarian.
I feel this ethnic angst.
I asked Peter to give a classic toast in Hungarian, and one instantly came to mind, you could tell it, and just as quickly, he changed his mind on telling us.
Father will roll over in his grave if I said that toast. Please. No, I promised him that.
I goaded him into saying something in his native tongue.
Akkor azt, hogy én beszéljek magyarul. Ja, az nem egy probléma, de én nem tudom megadni azt a... A toastot. Nem is tudom, nem is emlékszem, hogy hogyan mondod magyarul. No translation.
You got me, folks. You heard him. No translation. That could be the filthiest thing ever said on a podcast, as far as I know. Or he might just politely be suggesting that I get out of his workspace and let him get back to his job. I'll never know. But the entire staff at Spetzl is really friendly and helpful, and they're going to make sure that your trip to Shiner's a pleasant one. Shiner Beer also supports the local music scene. They used to have a widely popular festival called Bocktoberfest. They haven't had it in a few years. But each week they post a list of top recording artists from Texas. And they also have their own record label, Shiner Records. Take a look at Shiner.com and you can punch around. They got a great website there and you can get to Shiner Records. Plus see everybody I'm talking about. It's a cool website. And why don't you take a peek at your local beer barn and see if they have any beer from the Spetzl Brewery. I believe they're going to have the Shiner Bock. Try it. I think you're going to like it. Or hell, come on down to Austin and I'll buy one for you in person. You can catch all episodes online at aahour.com. You can also get the show by going to talk910.com. Click on the podcast link. Follow me on Twitter. I'm Den Cruz. That's D-E-N-C-R-U-Z, all one word. And I tell you, I love your feedback. Please email me your thoughts and suggestions at aahour@yahoo.com. Hopefully, I've lubricated the thought process for you. I'm going to leave you with a tune from the first artist signed by Shiner Records. The guy's name is Daryl Lee Rush, and the song is called Town Too Tough to Die. No, he's not talking about Tombstone. He's singing about his little hometown of Markham, Texas. Now, if you like beer, I think you're going to appreciate his story about him and his dad and beer drinking and small town life. That's a great song. This is Dennis Cruz, and thanks for joining me on the Attitude Adjustment Hour.
So I'm driving around looking for something to do. I went to this place that I used to go when I was 15 years old. It's one of these classic Texas bars. Pickled eggs, pickled pig's feet up on the bar, tar paper on the floor, and a very robust barmaid standing behind that bar. And you walk in out of that hot Texas sun. She looks at you, and she knows what you need. She knows what you need. She looks at you, and she says... Are you ready for something cold? 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 And I say, sure, Nancy. She reaches back into that icebox behind the bar, pulls out a long-neck bottle of beer, sets it on top of that bar, puts a little 4-ounce glass on top of that 12-ounce bottle, I fill that 4-ounce glass with that nectar of the gods. I'm watching the condensation form on the side of that 4-ounce glass. Watching the lines of water run on down to that bar. Reminds me when I was 5 years old. Used to go to town with my daddy. My daddy tell my mama, "Mama, I'm going to town and I'm taking the boy with me." We drive around, go down to the dump, see if there's something worth picking up. End up at this little bar off of Matagorda Highway. I'd sit up at the bar by my daddy. He'd usually get him a long neck bottle of beer. They'd put one of those little 4-ounce glasses on top of his long neck bottle. Me, I'd usually get an Orange Crush, Fanta Strawberry, or maybe a Knee High. They'd put one of those 4-ounce glasses on top of my bottle as well. I didn't know it then, ladies and gentlemen, but I was in training. And now it seems so different after all this time, or maybe it's just me who has changed. Is that same row of houses, is that same general store, and that same dead stretch of mine? Is that same restless feeling on those same empty streets where you and I, we used to ride? It was where we spent our days before we ran away from a town too tough to die. And when everything has changed, that memory remains of a town too tough to die. Thank you.